This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're joined by landscape historian and filmmaker Lawrence Cotton right now, and we're celebrating the work of the father of American landscape architecture, Frederick Law Olmsted. I guess Frederick Law Olmsted was so well established that when a great city was having a world exposition, they'd give him a buzz and see if, I don't know what they did back then, but they'd get him online so he could contribute to that. And Frederick Law Olmsted was certainly a big player in Chicago's world, the Columbian Exposition in 1893.
Indeed, he was. Daniel Burnham, architect and really a big ego character, a larger-than-life character who was so well detailed in that rather popular book, The Devil in the White City, by Eric Larson. Daniel Burnham invited all the leading architects of the day to create the temporary structures that would be built at the fair, and he invited many of the leading artists of the day as well to create artistic installations of one sort or another, murals and giant sculptures and statues, etc., and he invited Mr. Olmsted to be the principal landscape architect of record for the White City, the famous White City of that World's Fair. Now, Olmsted had his associates working with him. He even had his youngest son there while he was still at Harvard, spending the summer working there. But he didn't do this necessarily solo at this point in his life. This was towards the end of his career, 1893. Mm-hmm. He was already failing in physical health, not yet mental health maybe, but he was failing in physical health. He was his own mastermind of this project, the grand designer. He did have younger associates helping him carry it out.
Honestly, I'm so inspired by this new sort of appreciation I'm getting just from talking to you about how a landscape architect who really has a vision and the ability to get stuff done can have a heritage that'll outlast him for generations and generations. I grew up in Seattle, went to the University of Washington, and our campus was landscaped from an exhibition that was there before that. It sort of came in and inhabited. And we've got this wonderful Drumheller fountain reflecting pond with a sort of a boulevard of trees and landscaping that leads right to Mount Rainier. And even as just a goofy college kid, I recognized this is where people gather, and this is where people, whether they realize it exactly or not, are being refreshed by nature. And now I realize that it's not even Olmsted's work, it's Olmsted's son's work. Is that right?
That's correct. Both of his sons very much followed in his footsteps. His adopted son, he married his brother's widow. His brother died young, and he married his brother's widow and adopted her children, raised them as his own, brought them into the family practice. The first one was John Charles Olmsted, and he was influential in many places across the country. But in the Pacific Northwest, John C. Olmsted master planned the park systems of Portland, Seattle, and Spokane, and the 1905 Lewis and Clark Exposition in Portland and the 1909 Alaska Yukon Pacific Exposition in Seattle, also known as the AYP. And the centerpiece of that exposition, what remained, the Drumheller Fountain, the Court of Honor, the sight lines towards Mount Rainier, all became the centerpiece of the modern 20th century campus of UW, University of Washington, as you rightly stated.
And a century later, it brings people together in a beautiful, refreshing way.